Well, I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We got to travel up to Connecticut and then beat the snow back. My daughter and her fiancé are expecting about 8 inches of snow near Danbury, Connecticut today, and that would have been fun to stay, but I really wanted to be here with you. We got to do some of the great things, including going to Yale University's Peabody Museum, saw some amazing dinosaur bones and archaeological digs and things like that. And then, as if though that were not enough, we got to go to the Pez factory outlet. Yeah, amazing museum of Pez history. Who knew, right? So I hope your holiday was blessed with lots of good family time. But as I was telling the children, today is the day we pivot and we make the shift to Advent. And we begin this holy season as we journey toward Bethlehem. And today we're going to talk a little bit about sparking joy, sparking joy. So at first, I have to turn to Marie Kondo. How many of you have heard of Marie Kondo, or at least know something about her? Marie Kondo sort of burst on the scene quietly back in 2014 in the United States. She had already made a name for herself in Asia and also in Europe. She was well known as the guru of decluttering your life, and sort of that's her thing. And so her little book, and it is a little book, I bought my own copy now. This is my Advent devotional, not really. But I needed to learn a little bit about her. So the life-changing magic of tidying up. It's amazing how many adherents she got very, very quickly. There were a couple articles written about her method of decluttering. It's called the KonMari method, and there's a checklist about how you go through your clothes and how you go through your photos and how you go through stuff you've been holding on for 25 years and how you learn to let go of things and organize your life. She quickly rose in the ranks, and she was on the New York Times bestseller list either at the top or very near the top for 86 straight weeks, this little book on decluttering your life. Who would have thought? It parlayed into a Netflix series for her. Some of you watched that maybe on Netflix. And does it spark joy is the question she asks over and over and over again. When you hold something in your hands, when you're going through that box, when you're going through that closet, you're supposed to pick the thing up and say, does this still spark joy? And if it doesn't, and let's be honest, we hold on to stuff way longer than we need to. If it no longer sparks joy, she says, it's time to let go. I'm not picking on anybody. Somebody's like holding their bulletin in front of their face right now. I am not picking on anyone, okay? But does it spark joy seems to me to be a good theme for Advent as well, as I was thinking about her work, and she's in the news again. I'll talk about her a little bit more next week. But does it spark joy, and how this seems to be a season about sparking joy, doesn't it? But it didn't begin with Marie Kondo. You have to go way back to the prophet Isaiah. Actually, there were three prophets, Isaiah, we think, first, second, and third Isaiah, but that they start preaching and teaching and speaking on behalf of God to the people of Israel in very difficult circumstances, starting in the 8th century, a time when the northern kingdom is threatened, a time when the northern kingdom may fall, and then all the way through exile, and a time when people wonder whether God has forgotten about them. And the prophet Isaiah keeps speaking into that situation words of hope, words of assurance, words of strength. And we're familiar with some of those words, aren't we? The opening of the text that we read this morning by Mason, these words are familiar. We think of these as Advent words or Christmas words. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Doesn't that just take you to Christmas Eve or to the Advent season? You've heard those words over and over. Or maybe when you hear these words that were read, you hear Handel's Messiah in your mind's eye, don't you? For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named, join me because you know this part, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, right? These are the familiar words from Isaiah chapter 9. The less familiar words, but the words sandwiched in between these, equally important, I think, are these. Talking about you, God, you have multiplied the nation. You have what? Increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. Now, this is just one passage of Scripture. You could point to many, many passages of Scripture that points to God as the source of our strength and our joy. How many Psalms repeat that theme over and over? How many times we hear that in the prophets? How many times we hear Jesus just saying, I've come to bring this abundant life. I've come that their joy might be full and complete in me. God, not Marie Kondo, is the original joy sparker. Long before she was asking that question, God was in the business, so to speak, of sparking joy among God's people. And that doesn't mean just like a surface kind of happiness. That doesn't mean that everything's even necessarily going all right. It's a sense of deep well-being that comes from knowing that God is with us and God is for us. God is with us and God is for us, the source of our strength and our joy. So over the next couple weeks in Advent, we're going to be exploring this theme of joy in a couple different ways. We're going to have a lot of companions. Today, Isaiah is our companion. But next week, we're going to go to the Marie Kondo who was the Marie Kondo long before Marie Kondo was Marie Kondo. John the Baptist, right? John knew all about the joy of purging, the joy of cleansing, the joy of letting go of things so that you can make room for God. So next Sunday, we'll look at John the Baptist. And then we'll come back to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 35, this wonderful vision of joy. They shall go forth with joy and singing. It's a wonderful vision in Isaiah 35. And the Sunday right before Christmas, we will find ourselves with Mary, who has that beautiful song in Luke's gospel, right? The Magnificat. This song about a God who is turning the world upside down, a God who is lifting up the low and bringing down the mighty, a God who is with us in all things. And we'll sing with Mary, and we'll sing our hearts out. And then Christmas Eve, we will celebrate the 300th anniversary of that great hymn, that great carol, Joy to the World. 300 years old this year. Joy to the World. What better way to frame Christmas Eve than that? But today I want to leave you just with this one thought. We are on the front edge of Advent. We are in a season of preparation and doing things to make room in our hearts and to focus our lives back on God. And the way we do that is by participating, right? We do it by not just sitting back and receiving God's gift of joy, but we are invited by God to join in God's joyful work in the world, aren't we? Last Sunday, many of you picked up a reverse Advent calendar in the form of a bag that you can fill up with food, non-perishable food items for the Span food pantry because it goes empty. It literally goes empty this time of year. And our church has helped to replenish that the last couple of years. So maybe you're adding a food item every day, and that's your way of being part of God's joyful work in the world. Some of you are taking the tags off of the angel tree in Fellowship Hall, and you're helping a child, or you're helping one of our mission partners, or you're buying some clothing, or your gift cards, or whatever, to spark joy in someone else. And today, when you come up for communion, you're going to have an opportunity for the third year in a row to take an envelope, if you choose, to be part of our intentional acts of kindness. A $100 bill is in this envelope. And all it's waiting for is your heart and your imagination and your prayerful intention, because there is someone out there who needs your joy, someone for whom you might be a spark of God's joy in their lives. I've been amazed at the stories that have come in and poured in over the last couple of years, and I just can't wait. I kind of get the best seat in the house because the stories come back to me, and I get to post them to the website, so I get the first glance at them. But every week, even if you choose not to participate directly, I hope that you'll go on our website and read the stories and hear the ways that people are reaching out in love. And if you can, a lot of people take that gift and they multiply it or they add to it. And this year we're giving out $15,000, and we might have a few more $1,000 to give out again next week. But if we run out, you can still participate on your own. Just take your own $100 bill and do that. Holly and I have done that the last couple of years. I wanted to make room for everybody else to do it. And so you can do that and be part of it, whether or not there's still one here. So when you come forward for communion today, if you feel like that is one way you would like to spark joy this season, feel free to take that on your way out of church. Friends, You can choose through the church to spark joy, but most likely your opportunities to spark joy will just come in the ordinary run of your life. It will come in your families. It will come in your neighborhood. It's going to come with colleagues at work. It will come with somebody that you find out, a friend of yours that's in the hospital. It may come out on Facebook that you need to connect with somebody because you hear about a situation in their family. You will have 100 opportunities to spark joy. And my encouragement, friends, is that we don't have to do this all on our own. We get to do it because we are plugged into the source, right? We get to do it as an overflow of God's goodness and abundance, God's joy that spills out on us and flows through us when we allow it. We serve a God who is the original feast maker, invites us to this table. We serve a God who is the original joy sparker, and we get to spark joy for others too. Thanks be to God. Amen.